Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Cooking in Real Time podcast. My name is Zora O'Neill, and today I'm going to cook a very quick summer meal for you. It is spaghetti with lemon and basil, and on the side we're going to do some really quickly wilted arugula with pine nuts. Kind of thing you don't have to spend a lot of time turning on the burners and heating up the kitchen for. And it makes use of some good summery flavors. First thing I'm gonna do is put the water on to boil. So I'll get that going and then give you a little more background. So, as the pot filling up with water. I got this spaghetti with lemon recipe from a promotional cookbook for Parmigiano Reggiano cheese a long time ago. Technically, it has it listed as a spring recipe, which I guess it could be, and it would go very nicely with spring vegetables like asparagus and things like that. But I always think of it in the summer when I can get huge things of really nice basil. So I've got the water on. I'm gonna put a couple tablespoons of salt in the water. You always want your pasta water very well salted so that the pasta has the right salt balance and doesn't make your sauce bland. What have I done with the lid? Here we go. All right, so while that's happening, I'm just gonna get all the bits for the pasta ready. A rare time when I do complete mise en place and prepare everything ahead of time. But it's the kind of dish where you just want everything at the ready to throw in the pan as soon as the pasta is done. So let's see. Okay, getting out some butter. I got out the Parmesan cheese and grabbing one lemon and my basil. Here we go. All right, the core of this is the lemon, of course, and you want to give your lemon a little bit of a wash, a little bit of soap or a dish detergent, just to get any wax or whatever might be on the surface of the peel. And I've got my little microplane grater, which I know I've talked at great length about before. It is perfect for lemon zest because it doesn't cut too deep into the skin. It doesn't get down into that little bitter white part below the skin, and the stuff doesn't get stuck in the little grater holes. So I'm making about enough for two people tonight, about half a pound of pasta. So I want the peel from one lemon. All right, and I'm just grating that into a little bowl. There we go. Okay, and then we want the juice of that same lemon. And I'm gonna put that in a separate little bowl because I wanna be able to control exactly how much lemon juice I put in. The juice of one lemon might be a little bit too much. And I am just squeezing these lemon halves by hand. I'm using a fork I'm squeezing them and sort of jabbing the center with a fork. I'll have to fish out the seeds. I have many lemon squeezing devices, including a great electric juicer, but when it's just one lemon, I don't really like getting anything dirty. And that gets me plenty of juice. Okay, I'm just gonna fish the seeds out of there. All right, so I've got zest of one lemon, juice of one lemon. I've got about 3.5 tablespoons of butter. 4 tablespoons, not quite, just what was left in the butter dish. This is a pretty buttery dish, which is what makes it so good. And it does add a little bit of substance and makes the dish taste pretty rich. I would not substitute, in this case, olive oil for butter because the butter really brings out something nice in the lemon. I mean, you can try it. It just won't be quite the same surprise in the end. And I'm cutting about a half-inch chunk off my Parmesan wedge to grate. I'm gonna grate that into another little bowl here. And I'm doing that with my microplane as well. You want light, thin gratings of cheese so they melt really quickly, dissolve really quickly in the mix when you're tossing the spaghetti together at the end. And this is kind of a lot of cheese. But then again, it comes, like I said, from the promotional Parmesan cookbook, so I can't be too surprised about that. In terms of buying Parmesan cheese, go ahead and get the good stuff. It costs a lot. It's usually like $12 or $15 a pound. But there really isn't much like it nothing compares to Parmesan in terms of adding just this extra yummy sensation to your whole food. And buy it in whole wedges. Don't be lazy and buy the pre-grated stuff unless you know you're going to use it all in a couple days and you know it was grated very, very recently, because it just starts losing its flavor almost as soon as you grate it. So you don't want it sitting around in your fridge, getting sort of tired and absorbing other flavors in your fridge. It is kind of handy to have pre-grated, but I find I don't go through it quite that frequently, and I hate to have it go to waste and not be tasting its best. And if you buy a chunk of it, that will last in your fridge forever, so you don't really need to worry about it. I mean, you can easily leave it in your fridge for a month if you keep it wrapped up well. All right, I got my cheese grated. And that is basically all we need, most of what we need, I should say, for the pasta. The other thing we need is basil. I want to give that a rinse. I'm grabbing a big handful of basil leaves and tossing them in my salad spinner to rinse. Basil can be pretty sandy, so you want to be, careful and slosh it around in the water a lot to dislodge anything, and give it a couple of rinses. When you buy your basil at the store, the best way to keep it when you bring it home is just to treat it like a bunch of flowers or a bouquet and stick it in a glass of water. When you get it home, snip off the ends of the stems to sort of make a fresh cut so it can absorb more water, and stick it in a glass and just leave it on the counter. If you stick it in the fridge, if it's wet at all, it tends to turn black, and that's not very appealing, and it really does start wilting within a couple days, whereas if you keep it out on the counter, it'll last 4 or 5 days, especially if you remember to change the water. And the other nice thing about keeping it out on the counter is that you remember to use it. You can see it, and you'll be reminded to put it in random things. Yesterday, for instance, I made some BLTs, and I put a little chopped basil in the mayonnaise, which was great. And actually, come to think of it, the promotional Parmesan people will be happy to know. I also grated a little Parmesan cheese in the mayo. That was a fine sandwich, and I probably would not have done it if I hadn't noticed the basil just sitting there on my counter. So I'm plucking all the leaves off the basil stems, and I'm laying the leaves out on my counter, or out on my cutting board rather, kind of a loose pile. I'm not being anal about it, but it's kind of nice to have all the leaves slightly facing the same direction, at least all the big leaves, because it'll make it easier to grab onto the whole pile when you start chopping. So I just sort of lay mine out a little bit side to side. The fancy approach to chopping up basil or herbs, mostly basil it works best with, is called a chiffonade, and in that approach you very carefully stack all the leaves and then you roll them up lengthwise, kind of like a cigar, and then you cut across in very fine strips. And I'm doing the extremely slack and casual version of that, where I'm just sort of balling all these leaves up gently into a single wad and doing long thin slices. So you wind up with these sort of thin shreds. Mine, because I've been sort of slack about preparing the basil, are very inconsistent, but that is the beauty of being a home cook and not working in a restaurant, is you don't need everything to look absolutely beautiful or consistent. So that's all done. That's all we need for the pasta. We've got the lemon zest, the lemon juice, grated Parmesan, butter is out and measured, and I've got my basil in a big chopped up pile. I just turned on the burner to deal with the arugula, and actually I'm going to slide all my basil into a bowl. I've got a whole huge collection of small stainless steel bowls, and these are really handy just if you need to measure out spices, or like we're doing now, little grated things. So you can put them all next to the stove and use them in the order you need them. I'm not, like I said, a huge fan of really strict mise en place where you get everything prepared before you start cooking, because that's not the best use of your time. But things like these little tiny bowls can sort of help you keep organized and keep things where you need them. Okay, I've got that burner on. What else am I doing? I am putting a big cast iron skillet on that burner. This is for the arugula. put the heat on medium. I'll drizzle a little olive oil in there. And real quick, I'm gonna rinse my arugula. Actually, I'm gonna turn my heat way down to low because my arugula is gonna take a second to rinse. Arugula is another one of those really sandy greens. So we wanna give it a couple good rinses. Filling up for a second rinse, I'm getting out another ingredient, which is pine nuts. And I'm gonna turn my heat back up to medium now because I'm gonna toast the pine nuts first before I deal with the greens. All right, there we go. Rinsing that around, pouring off the extra. And in this case, we don't actually want to dry the greens all that much. We want the extra water that's sort of clinging to the leaves, so let the water drain off, but don't worry about drying anything. Okay, this oil is about, we got pretty shimmery hot. I'm just gonna put in a couple small handfuls of pine nuts. Just imagine sort of how much you'd want to eat in a serving. A couple small handfuls, scatter those into the hot oil. Putting them back in the freezer. I might have mentioned this in a previous episode, but I tend to keep my nuts in the freezer because it keeps the oils from going rancid. It'll makes them last a lot longer. And since I very often toast my nuts, it doesn't matter that they're coming straight from the freezer. And even if you use them straight from the freezer to toss in a salad or something, usually by the time you sit down to eat, they're perfectly defrosted. They defrost really quickly. So while that's toasting, I'm just gonna get a little plate to scrape these guys onto once they're done. So what we're doing with the arugula is just wilting it really quickly in the pan. And this is an approach to cooking greens that you can use really with any greens. Kale, Swiss chard, those you want to cook a little bit longer than what we're going to do today. Spinach will cook about the same amount of time as arugula. You can even cook romaine lettuce this way because it's a little bit sturdy and will hold up to the heat, and that can be a really surprisingly delicious way to eat lettuce. And the nice thing about arugula, I love arugula raw. In fact, I'm tasting some right now just to see how peppery this stuff is. It's got a serious sort of spicy bite to it. I love raw arugula, but today with this pasta, if I were to eat the raw arugula, I would put a salad dressing on it, and that would be sort of sour, vinegary, and basically would be too similar to the lemon on the pasta. So I want something with a slightly different flavor that's not sour, so I'm not repeating what's in the pasta. And that's why I'm cooking the arugula today, just with the olive oil. And cooking the arugula also mellows it out just a little bit, so it doesn't have quite that overpowering kick. I'm stirring my pine nuts now. They're just starting to turn toasty brown, and they are done. So I'm scraping them out. Okay, out into this waiting bowl. Get out. You don't even want to leave one in there because they would get terribly burned. Okay, I'm turning down the heat to medium-low because my oil just got very shimmery and almost smoky. All right, now all you do is, actually, pause while I explain this. I'm taking the skillet off the heat. This way of cooking greens, you basically always start with the olive oil in the pan, and you can throw in whatever you want. We toasted some pine nuts and took them out. You could throw in some garlic and you would leave, sort of brown that really quickly and leave that in the pan. You can throw in hot pepper, although that you want to really keep an eye on, like little red chili flakes. You really want to keep an eye on because you don't want that to burn. You literally throw that in the hot oil, stir it once, and toss in the greens. You could throw in a little anchovy and garlic makes a really great, strong, flavorful base, especially for greens like kale and to a lesser degree chard, but kale is great because it has a really strong flavor and can hold up to it. In fact, I was going to add a little anchovy today, but I did not find any in the fridge, so we're just going ahead with the straight arugula. All right, so I've got the hot oil. I let it cool down a little bit while we're talking, which is good. It's not going to spatter quite so much. And I'm throwing my wet greens right in there, and stand back because it's going to spatter. You can hear that happening right now. And it starts, at first it looks like your big bunch of arugula is not even going to fit in the pan, but as soon as you start to stir, you will see that the greens are losing so much volume and just sort of collapsing down on themselves. And I'm putting a lid right on there, and I'm just going to let that go for about 20 seconds or so max. So while that is happening, I'm just going to tidy up here, clear out the sink a little bit. All right. I think that's good. It's done. Yeah, perfect. They've just wilted down. They're very soft in the pan. You barely have to cook these at all. I mean, like, you would eat raw arugula, so this is really just a texture issue. You just want it enough for them to lose all their volume and collapse in the pan. And that's it. If you cook them much longer, they'll start losing their really nice green color, and they'll turn sort of a yucky olive green, which you don't want. So I'm going to take these right out of the pan and scoot them into a bowl. And for seasoning, and I'm leaving that skillet there because we're going to use it in a little while to prepare the pasta. For seasoning, like I said, I couldn't find an anchovy, so I'm going to dribble just a few little drops of fish sauce on my arugula. It's like 8 or 9 drops, honestly. It's not much. I don't want to overpower the arugula because it has such a nice fresh flavor. And then I'm going to put little sprinkles of red pepper. I have some really nice Aleppo pepper, and I'm sprinkling on there. It's not too hot, but it gives it a nice little kick. And then sprinkling the pine nuts on top of that. So that's done. And it doesn't matter that it loses a little heat before you eat. We're like 6 minutes away because the pasta water has just started to boil, and that means I can put in the spaghetti. Like I said, I'm doing about 1/2 pound, which is good for 2 people-ish, especially if we're not eating tons of other stuff. This is a really light meal. And I'm giving the pasta a good stir to start with so it doesn't stick all together in a big mass. All right, so we're actually really ahead of game. We don't have anything else we need to do while we're waiting for the pasta to boil. So I'm going to wash some dishes, and I recommend you do the same. This is a totally vegetarian meal. Well, I suppose it's not totally vegetarian. Those few little drips of fish sauce on the arugula are not vegetarian, but obviously you can leave those out and just do a little sprinkle of salt. If you wanted to add a little bit more protein to the meal, which if you're eating vegetarian all the time is obviously a concern, I would add some really nice soft goat cheese to the pasta. It would be a nice sort of soft, mellow counterpart to the lemon. If you're not concerned with staying vegetarian, you could also cook up a little fish fillet and have that on the side. I'm saying fish fillet makes it sound very, very McDonald's. Not a fillet au fish, just a fish fillet. Some nice white flaky fish, and you could just pan fry that really quickly, actually right now in this lull while we're waiting for the pasta to boil. You could pan fry that really quickly in butter, and it would be a nice addition on the side. Or you could steam some little clams maybe, or some other, or mussels. Clams I think would be nicest though. So you can always do that if you want to make the meal a little bit more substantial. But like I said, half the point of this is having it be something that tastes fresh and nourishing in the summer when, I don't know about you, but I barely have an appetite when it gets hot out. So it's more about making you feel like you fed yourself some dinner and you're not going to bed hungry. Giving the pasta another little stir here. And it's coming along. And let's see, wash my grater. These little lulls in the cooking are nice because you can make the kitchen look much more presentable, so when you come back in after eating, you're not confronted with a giant mess. And I'm washing my knives right away and putting them back. In general, this is really good practice to get into. Like, the first thing you should wash is knives so they're ready when you need them and so they're not sitting in the sink, which is perhaps the most dangerous thing you can do. Somebody else comes along and says, oh, hey, let me wash the dishes for you, and they stick their hand in the sink and don't notice the knife. And you also don't want your knives hanging out in your dish rack because they're gonna bang up against the metal or the plastic, and that's not very good for their edges. And again, like, people don't necessarily notice they're there and are more prone to cutting. So you wanna really get in the habit of washing your knives as soon as possible after you use them and sticking them right back where you store them so they're ready. We keep ours in a little knife block right on the counter so they're accessible. And we're pretty close to the pasta getting done, I think. I'm just wiping off the cutting board. And I'll go check on it again. Okay, I'm gonna turn the skillet back on. And that's the same skillet we cooked the arugula in, so no need to do anything drastic to it. You just want to make sure all the little bits of arugula are out. There, I'm putting my butter in the pan to let that melt. Bringing all my other stuff over here. All my little bowls. Lemon juice, lemon zest, the basil, and where'd I put it? The grated cheese? Hello? There we go. All right, I've got all those by the side. Let me check on the pasta again. Oh, it's looking much better. You can kind of eyeball the pasta at first and see how it looks when you sort of scoop it up with a spoon. How much is it bending around the spoon? You can kind of practice keeping an eye on that. If it doesn't bend around the spoon completely and is still a teensy bit stiff, you know you've got a few more minutes. Yeah, in fact, ooh, still quite crunchy. All right. There, you can hear the butter sizzling up, and I'm just sort of tilting the pan around to hurry up the melting. And let's see, while we're waiting, I'm also gonna get out a colander. Where is it? Not in its usual spot. All right, there we go. And the other thing I'm gonna do is I'm taking just a little measuring cup and I am dipping that into the pasta water and scooping out just a little bit of the pasta water, like half a cup or so, and setting that aside. Because whenever you're composing a pasta dish that doesn't have a ton of liquidy sauce of its own, and really we're just putting butter and cheese and lemon juice on this pasta, whenever you're composing a sauce like that, it's handy to have some pasta water. If things start to glom up or it's looking too dry, you can toss in a little pasta water, and that starchy silkiness in the water helps create a nice sauce on its own and keeps from diluting the flavor. It would get diluted if you added just water. So now I've melted the butter and I'm tossing in the lemon zest and pretty much all of the lemon juice. I'm holding back just a tiny bit, like half a teaspoon, so I can balance the flavors later. And basically you just want to let the lemon juice and zest simmer here. I've got the heat turned down to the lowest possible flame. And that'll give a chance for the oils in the lemon zest to sort of infuse into the butter and also to take that really sharp edge off the lemon juice so it doesn't taste just like pasta where you've squirted a huge lemon over the whole thing. So you want to stir. We'll just let that simmer for half a minute more. And you've still got the basil and the cheese on the side. Those are not added to the mix. And for this preparation, the pasta can be a tiny bit close to not done because we're gonna toss it in a hot pan with the butter. In fact, ooh, that's just done, perfect. Okay, turning off the water. There we go, draining the pasta. And you don't have to drain it too much, just toss it around, but don't worry about it drying off. And now we're just gonna toss all that pasta right in the pan with the butter and the lemon. And we're gonna stir that around to coat everything really evenly with butter. And we're just gradually shaking in the cheese. Gradually, and stirring the whole time. If you dump it in one big dump, it's gonna all clump up and create this big wad in your skillet, which is not attractive. Hold a couple tablespoons or a tablespoon of cheese back, and we'll use that as a final garnish at the end. But you'll see there's sort of a slick of cheese and butter on the bottom of the pan, and you wanna keep scraping that up and working it in. And this is starting to glom up a little bit, so I'm just gonna dribble in about a tablespoon of pasta water and give it another stir. Nice. It's making a good silky, smooth sauce emulsified with the butter. And now we're just tossing in the basil. It looks like I chopped up a ton more than I needed, so a couple small handfuls. Just sort of imagine how much basil you would like to eat in a serving. That's about how much you want to toss in, times two, since we're doing about two servings of this. Okay, that looks good. We don't want to stir it up too much more on the heat now, because the basil will turn black from the heat, and that is not attractive. All right, we are done. We've got our pasta with lemon and basil, and when you serve that up, you want to sprinkle just a little bit extra cheese on top and maybe a little extra fresh basil if you didn't use all that you chopped up. If you did, that's totally fine too. And you've got your arugula with pine nuts and a little tiny hot pepper sprinkled on. You wanna test, whoops, just spattered myself with butter, that is great. Every single shirt I own has grease spots. You just wanna test your pasta for salt. The cheese adds a fair amount of salt to the whole thing, and I used salted butter. If you used unsalted butter, you might want to end up adding a little bit of salt for flavor at the end, but then it's totally up to your taste. But my mix of salted butter and Parmesan is pretty good and doesn't really need any extra salt. Okay, so that's it. Happy eating. Enjoy your light summer meal. And as usual, check the website for photos and recipes and ingredients list, cookinginrealtime.com. And if you have any comments or requests, drop me an email at zora@cookinginrealtime.com, and I'd love to hear from you, and I'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.